Welcome to Torah Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Hochheimer, and today we are studying Yechezkel, Perek Chaf Hei, Chapter 25. We are now beginning the second half of Sefer Yechezkel. We find that there are 8 prakim directed to other nations that sit in between the nevuos about the Charban, the destruction, and the nevuos about the Geula. The nevuos in these prakim are dedicated to the nations who surround Israel on all sides: Ammon, Moab, Edom, and the Plishtim, followed by more extensive nevuos on Sur, Sidon, and Mitzrayim. These nevuos were not said chronologically, but are ordered thematically. This is something we have seen with other Nevi'im, such as Yirmiyahu and Yeshayahu, and we will continue to see later with Yonah and Avadia, that the Nevi'im of Klal Yisrael will sometimes address the other nations of the world. The nevuos in Yechezkel are somewhat different to the nevuos of Yirmiyahu and Yeshayahu, as Bavel is not mentioned at all. In this perek, Yechezkel is going to describe the utter devastation of 4 of those kingdoms: Ammon, Moab, Edom, and the Plishtim. They all rejoiced over the harsh conditions of Yehuda and the Charban. They each participated in the Charban to varying degrees, and their punishments will be parallel to their participation and attitude. First, we will hear about Ammon, how they rejoiced over the Charban and their subsequent punishment. They were active participants, and they also wanted to conquer Judean territory as well, and they tried to destroy the remnant left in Israel under Gedaliah. Next, we will learn about Moab, who had a philosophical argument about whether or not there was still a God after the Charban, who was involved in the world and took special care of the Jewish people. Finally, we read the nevuos regarding Edom and the Plishtim. They took part in the Charban motivated by feelings of resentment and anger and a desire for revenge. Though these 4 nations were not the primary actors in the Charban, their attitudes led them to be called out for destruction and punishment. Each of the nevuos have a similar structure. They begin with the word Ya'an, since, which describes the sin, followed by the word Lachain, therefore, which then describes God's punishment. The nevuah begins in a manner that is different than how the other nevuos in this parak are going to start. It says in Pasuk Bey's verse 2, Ben Adam, son of man, as many nevuos in the Sefer Yechezkel start, Sim panecha al bnei Ammon, put your face to the sons of Ammon. We've already heard that phrase when Hashem tells Yechezkel to Sim panecha al hari Yisrael, that he should focus on the mountains of Yisrael. The Mepharshim disagree as to whether this attention is focused solely and especially on Ammon due to its sins, or, as the Radak says, if it's a general introduction to the nevuos in this whole perek, that is speaking to all the nations that are going to be addressed in this perek. What was Ammon's sin? As we said, the word Ya'an clues us in to pay attention to what was the sin. First, Ya'an amrech he'ach el mikdashi ki nechal, because you said aha against my sanctuary when it was profaned, which means they were happy for the Chorban Beis HaMikdash. Second, Vel admas Yisrael ki nashama, and against the land of Israel which when it was made desolate, meaning they were happy when the land of Israel was destroyed. Third, the Pasuk tells us, Vel beis Yehuda ki halchu b'gola, and against the house of Yehuda when they went into captivity. Ammon is being faulted for the 3 different components that they express joy over. Next, the Navi describes what the punishment will be. A foreign nation from the east, and it's a machlokas, whether it's the Kastim or it's Paras Umadai Persia, will come and attack them. The Malbim says, just as there were 3 distinct areas that they were happy about, they will also have 3 different kinds of punishment. First, because they were happy about the Chorban Beis HaMikdash, the conquering armies would build their own houses of worship in Ammon. Second, because they were happy about the land of Israel's destruction, these conquering armies would build encampments throughout the land. And finally, because they were happy that the Jews went into Galus, these people would eat their food, as Ammon would also be sent into Galus. The punishment continues that the capital Rabbah of Ammon would be so destroyed that it will become, as it says in Pasuk Hei, verse 5, Neve Gamalim, a pasture for camels, and the cities would be Mirbat Son, a place for small livestock to gather. This was done via Datem Ki Ani Hashem, so that you will know that I am Hashem. The Radak says that this is to teach them that Hashem is Kol Yachol, able to do everything with Hashkacha over the world. The next 2 psukim, psukim Vav and Zion, 6 and 7, continue talking to Ammon about their behavior. Not only were they happy to see Yehuda and the Mikdash destroyed, they made public spectacles of their joy. The pasuk begins again with the word ya'an to describe what they did wrong. An machacha yad, rakacha viragal. Since you clapped your hands and stamped with the feet. This outward celebration was more extreme, so the punishment for this sin was more complete. Pasuk Zion, verse 7, Lachin hinini natisi es yadi alacha. Therefore, behold, I stretch out my hand on you. In addition to galus, ashmidacha, I will destroy you. This nation is going to be destroyed, although Yirmiyahu discusses its eventual return in Perek Mem Tes, chapter 49. We now turn to Moab and Edom. First, it talks about them together, and then it treats each nation independently. Yan amor Moab is Seir, hine k'chol hagayim beis Yehuda. Since Moab and Seir say, behold, the house of Yehuda is like all the nations. The Radak points out that the act of speaking in the pasuk is written in singular, as Moab was the main instigator. Moab was particularly happy that the Jewish people seemed to be losing Hashkachas Hashem, divine providence. The Radak adds that for Moab, the loss of the Mikdash proved that the Jews had no special status, as Hashem could not save them and the Mikdash did not protect them. Chazal and the Mefarshim mention an important incident connected to this pronouncement. When the Babylonians entered the Mikdash, Moab and Ammon entered with them. They found the Kruvim locked in an embrace, which, as we said, was symbolic of the fact that Hashem's love is shown through his punishments. Ammon and Moab took the wrong message from this. They said, just as we serve idols, they serve idols. Yehuda is just like all the other nations. Hinei k'chol hagayim beis Yehuda. Rashi says that the Moabim paraded the Kruvim through the streets of Yerushalayim, saying that the Jews claimed to be so modest, yet look what was inside their Kodesh HaKadoshim. In Pasuk Tes, verse 9, Hashem declares what their punishment would be. Lachin, hinini poseach es kesef Moav, me ha'arim me'arav mikatzehu. Therefore, behold, I will open up the shoulder of Moav on the side of the cities. Moav was situated to the southeast of Yerushalayim on the eastern bank of the Dead Sea. Moab had a series of defensive, fortified cities that protected its land and were a source of immense pride and allowed it to have beautiful and enviable cities, which were, as it says in the pasuk, Tzvi Eretz, the beauty of the land. One of the cities listed, Beis HaYeshimos, had originally been a Moabi city before it was captured by Sihon, which was then defeated and settled by Reuven. It had now returned to be a Moabi city and was a beautiful location. The Mesudas David explains that these fortified cities at the border would be overrun so that the beautiful cities could be conquered as the people saw fit. The reason for this conquest had a secondary reason. Pasuk Yud explains, Livnei Kedem al Bnei Ammon, together with the children of Ammon to the sons of the east, Unesati ha'lemorasha, I will give them for possession, Leman lo sizacher Bnei Ammon b'gayim, so that the children of Ammon may not be remembered among the nation. Moab's borders needed to be breached so that the Bnei Kedem could conquer Ammon. The Malbim explains the Midah k'neged Midah, the divine justice in this. Ammon conquered portions of Israel that were not its own, and so its land would now be conquered as it didn't respect the boundaries that had been defined by Hashem. Because it lost its land, it also lost its identity as a nation. In contrast, Moab stayed within its borders, and the only thing they did wrong was that they were happy about the Jewish conquest. Therefore, they would not lose their land. Rather, they would suffer, as it says in Pasuk Yud Aleph, verse 11, Uvemoav eseh shvatim, I will execute judgments upon Moab. They had a more limited scope of suffering that has an end. For the next three psukim, Yechezkel will now address Edom. Edom, also known as Seir, is a descendant of Esav, and their land is situated to the south of Moab. In the Torah, this relationship is acknowledged as familial. When Moshe sent messengers to Edom, he said the message was coming, Me'achicha Yisrael, your brother Israel. This did not cause a lessening of tensions between the two nations. There are battles described between Edom and the Jewish people in Sefer Shmuel Aleph and in Melachim. Edom was the subject of Yehuda during the times of David, Yehoshaphat, until the time of Achaz, where Achaz became weak and Edom asserted their independence. When describing the Chorban and Melachim Beis, the Psukim mention Ammon and Moab, but we don't hear about Edom. In Sefer Ovadia, which is devoted to a nevuah about Edom, it mentions briefly that they were there, but it doesn't give us more information. The Yalkut on Ovadia tells a story of what Edom did that made them particularly evil during this time. As Nebuchadnezzar laid siege to Yerushalayim, Edom stood at a distance and killed everyone who tried to escape. In Tehillim, Kuf Lamed Zayin, chapter 137, it tells us that Edom was particularly vicious at the time of the destruction. Zachor Hashem livnei Edom es yom Yerushalayim. Remember Hashem against Edom the day Jerusalem fell. Ha'omrim aru aru ad hayasoba. When they said, strip her to her very foundations. It was this relationship of hatred that our psukim are talking about. Pasuk Yabez, verse 12. Nan asos Edom binkom nakam leves Yehuda. Since Edom acted, taking vengeance against the house of Yehuda. Vaya eshmu ashom vinikmu bahem. And they greatly offended and revenged himself against them, meaning Bnei Yisrael. The description of what Edom did is harsher than the other nations. The other nations mocked Bnei Israel and were happy about its destruction. They tried to take advantage of that. Edom lashed out with a personal vendetta, but it is unclear from our psukim the source of this excessive anger. The Malbim says that this comes from an everlasting hatred that exists between the sons of Yaakov and the sons of Esav. In Pasuk Yud Gimel, verse 13, Yecheskel says, Lachain. Therefore, what will happen? V'natisi yadi al Edom. I will stretch out my hand against Edom. Hashem will have Nebuchadnezzar destroy Edom's people and animals. The destruction will start from the south and continue north so that there will be a complete decimation of its region. Next, Pasuk adds an interesting additional point. V'nasati es nikmasi be'edom biyad ami Yisrael. And I will lay my vengeance upon Edom by the hand of my people Israel. How will this revenge have happened through the hands of the Jewish people? There are a few options. La'asid lavo, at the end of days, Ovadia tells us that v'hayu beis Yaakov le'eshu beis Yosef l'hava, that Yaakov will be the fire and beis Yosef will be the spark, u'beis Esav v'kash, and Esav will be like straw, meaning they will be burnt up by Yosef. Mashiach ben Yosef will avenge the sins of Edom at that time. The Radak feels that this is referring to the time of the Hashmonaim when they subjugated surrounding areas, including Edom. There is an Agadata recorded in Gittin 56 that talks about a Roman general who was walking about immediately prior to the Chorban. He met a Jewish child and asked him to recite what he was learning. The child repeated this pasuk, V'nasati es nikmasi be'edom biyad ami Yisrael, that I will avenge the nation of Edom in the hand of my nation Yisrael. The general heard this and realized that he was being used as a tool to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, and so that therefore Edom would then be able to be avenged and punished. Immediately he converted to Judaism. Hashem will allow Edom to destroy the second Beis HaMikdash so he can take vengeance on them as well. The last section of this parak talks to the Plishtim. The Plishtim lived further to the south and to the west of Israel along the eastern shore of the Mediterranean. Throughout the books of Shoftim and Shmuel, there were many battles and skirmishes and flare-ups between the Shvatim and the Plishtim. Once David set up a monarchy, we don't hear much about them. From our psukim here, we can learn that the tensions continued throughout the centuries, and the Plishtim resented their loss of sovereignty and power. Pasuk Tezvav, verse 15. Yan asos Plishtim binakama, because the Plishtim have acted with revenge. From the pasuk, we get the impression that the attitude of the Plishtim showed a deep hatred and anger. They didn't want to just hurt the Jews, but to humiliate them. V'yinakmu nakam b'sh'at b'neshvesh. They have taken a vengeance with the disdain of the soul. L'mashchis evas olam. To destroy with an everlasting hatred. Everything they did had an extra element of hatred and malice. The Malbim tells us that it was through their hatred that they sold the Jews into slavery to Greek traders. What would be the Plishtim's punishment? Pasuk Tezayin, verse 16. Lachain, therefore, hinini note yadi al Plishtim. I will stretch out my hands upon the Plishtim. V'chrati es kresim. Hashem will cut off the kresim, who were a large Plishti clan, as well as then it goes on to describe how Hashem will destroy those who live by the coast. V'asisi vam nekamos gdolos v'tochos chema. And I will execute great vengeance upon them with furious rebukes. V'yadu k'yani Hashem, v'siti es nikmasi bam. And they will know that I am Hashem when I shall put my vengeance upon them. To summarize, in this parak we learned about the reactions and participation of four minor neighbors of the Jewish people, Ammon, Moab, Edom, and Plishtim, and what would be their punishment as a result of their participation in the destruction and humiliation of the Jewish people. The Das Mikra offers an important explanation for these events. Hashem destroyed the Beis HaMikdash and exiled his people as they did not create a Kiddush Hashem. The goal of the Jewish people was to increase Kedusha in the world, and since they did not, the Beis HaMikdash needed to be destroyed. Upon seeing this, the other nations were meant to learn a lesson. However, they chose to view these events with a personal lens, and they missed the whole point of the lesson. As a result, they too needed to experience suffering and galus so they could know, Ki Ani Hashem, that I am Hashem. Through this, they will be purified from their sins, and then it will be possible to begin Geula for the entire world as well as for Klal Yisrael. Thank you for studying together, Le'iloi Nishmas, Malk Esther, Basvi Yosef.